Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can play this at the club, Jeff. Don't tell me otherwise. It is high noon in the District of Columbia. Joining us now is our guy from Charlotte, boots on the ground, giving us a Panthers preview, Kyle Bailey. Of course, you can hear him afternoons on WFNZ in the Queen City. Kyle, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, brother?
Doing great. Now, before we start the conversation, I do have to start things with an H-O-K-I-E-S, Hokies. Let's go Hokies, baby. Can't wait for tonight.
We got a Terp over here. You're going to be mad.
In the post-ACC Big Ten world for my Terps, a lot of my animosity has changed. I'm cool with the Hokies. Good luck tonight, man. I mean, when they dropped that Miami game, Beamish and I were watching that together out in Arizona. When that kid didn't score on the pick six, I knew they were going to lose, and I just felt bad for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, I went from hating you in the conference to hating you for leaving the conference to not caring anymore, so I get it. So I hope you're doing well, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
No, of course, man. If you want to listen to the Hokies tonight, you can listen right here on 106.7 The Fan. They're playing Boston College at 7:30. Dude, I want to start on a personal level. I know how bad the weather was, those hurricanes, everything it did to Western North Carolina. You get through everything okay. How's just the state rebounding?
Yeah, it's actually a great question, very timely, because our radiothon today here in Charlotte started at 6 a.m. this morning. Of course, the Western North Carolina mountains are about 90 minutes to 3 hours from here, depending upon where you're going, so not far at all. But our entire cluster of stations today is raising money and sending food with the Second Harvest Food Bank to make sure that folks out there who are obviously still just starting to rebuild and will be for some time are at least fed and continue to get the resources that they need out west. So, 13 hours today, we are doing our part to do that. I mean, Charlotte, we were certainly we felt the impact of the storm. There was a lot of local flash flooding here and things like that. So things got a little bit hairy, but certainly not near to the level of destruction and devastation out west. So, as somebody who grew up in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, I understood then how dangerous mountain flooding could be. And you were just hoping for the best, but unfortunately it turned out to be the worst for so many people. So I appreciate you asking.
Yeah, man, that's great. You guys are raising that money, and I got people down there, and man, just such a scary. Totally. Some of the videos you see are just devastating.
They were bad.
All right, let's get down to business here. Carolina Panthers visiting Northwest Stadium. Make sure you have that on your flip card, Kyle. It's Northwest Stadium, man. Coming to play the Burgundy and Gold, and Carolina's not as bad maybe as that record, but they're still not very good. Get us up to speed on all things Panthers.
It feels like we've already played an entire season down here again. That's how things go. Six games in, Bryce Young gets benched after two. And actually before that, they hire Dave Canales coming up from Tampa. He's worked with Baker. He's worked with Geno Smith, helped Russell Wilson to some of his best years in Seattle. So, young, energetic, good-looking quarterback whisperer gets hired. He's coming in to fix Bryce Young, and it takes two games before he's benched. They go to Andy Dalton. Andy immediately gives them a boost in Vegas. They go out there and, get an impressive win. You could tell the team was energized. And then they come back and they face the Bengals, and, they played well offensively. But as has become the story, a defense that was already kind of thought to be maybe middle of the pack this year after losing Burns and Luvu, who I'm sure we'll talk more about. They start suffering massive injury after massive injury. Derrick Brown goes down week one against the Saints, done for the season. They've lost Shaq Thompson for the season, obviously. DJ Wanham, who they signed in free agency, still hasn't played a down yet. Jordan Fuller's been injured. Josie Jewell, the other linebacker, both their starting linebackers are gone at this point. They've been churning the bottom of the roster, trying to find depth. And the defense is just really, really bad right now. They're on pace to give up the most points in a season in the modern NFL in the Super Bowl era. It's really bad from that respect. Offensively, the offensive line's been really, really good, and it should be because they invested more money than anybody else in the NFL. into that position. They've been able to run the ball. You know, and Andy Dalton, as, you know, Brian and I talked about yesterday, you know, is a professional quarterback. So he has kept them on time. He certainly made some plays. I do think offensively this weekend, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, you know, I think Carolina's going to be able to move the football, but I don't know if they're going to be able to stop. I don't know if they're going to be able to hold Washington under 40 points.
Wow.
Well, we hope you're right.
Yeah.
well, like, since Andy has come in, you know, and it just, I mean, sometimes, we saw it last year, we had Sam Howell, and I mentioned this to you, Jacoby Brissett comes in, and you go, wow, that's how the offense is supposed to be run. Has it allowed other things to happen for him because you're not, you know, trying to do so much to make sure Bryce looked good?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you saw that. You certainly felt it after the Chargers loss in week two, 26-3, where they just could not move the football. And there were comments after the game by some of the veterans. Like, they brought Deontay Johnson in here from Pittsburgh, a guy who, you know, might have been, you know, kind of disruptive in the locker room at times with the Steelers. And, you know, you got some vets in here that really want to win. They want to be given a chance to compete. And they just didn't feel like they had that after 2 weeks. And so, you know, Andy coming in, you could see it right away in Vegas. He starts to unlock Deontay Johnson, made some big plays, the rookie Xavier Leggett. Adam Thielen had a big touchdown grab in that game. Unfortunately, he got hurt on that play and has been out ever since. So, the offense has certainly looked a lot better. They've suffered a couple of injuries over there as well that have, caused them to struggle a little bit at times. But, you know, it was night and day difference offensively right away, you know, taking out a second-year guy in Bryce Young and putting in a five-time or three-time Pro Bowler in Andy Dalton, who's led five teams to the playoffs. So, you know, obviously it was going to look better and different, but, man, it was stark.
Yeah, it started bad. It seems like they're going to have to trade or get rid of Bryce Young, right? Like, they seem – I don't know. It seems kind of broken. Do you see that as well?
That's the problem is that you just, I think, used the best word to describe it. It's broken. Who's trading for something that broken? And I talked to Jake. I talked to Jake DeLome about this a couple of weeks ago.
Enough.
You know, Jake and I both.
Andy's gonna be on the show on Monday.
Hey, that's awesome. Jake and I both saw some of the same things last year where Bryce. You know, there. If you go back and watch last year's tape, Bryce did some things really well that gave you hope that there was something to build on there. But, man, he came out in that very first game against the Saints. And speaking of Jake, they come out first play of the game against New Orleans. They throw the football interception, right? And it kind of felt like that moment where Bryce just collapsed into, oh, my God, here we go again. And there was this shell-shocked nature to the way they played, the way that he looked. He's running out of clean pockets. You know, he's running from things that aren't there. And, you know, that's a sign of a quarterback who, as we've seen in the past, you know, you take enough punishment, you suffer enough failure earlier in your career, it can stick with you when you can't shed it. And I'm afraid I saw right away. I thought that's what it was. Jake said the same thing. I don't know how you fix that. I mean, maybe B. Mitch has some thoughts on that. But, you know, I don't know how you fix that.
I told you yesterday when he was coming out of college, JP knows I said this.
Yeah, B wasn't high on.
You're that tall. You're that small. You don't have a lot of speed to be a scrambler. It's hard as hell to be a pocket pass in the league because they're going to get to
you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, let me ask you this because I think it's interesting, too. You know, people say, well, he can't see over the line of scrimmage. And we all understand that college to pro is definitely a different game. But, you know, height is height. And, you know, the guys that played in front of him in Alabama, you know, on the offensive line were all 6'3 to 6'7. So, you know, that's one of those things that I think some people are also here trying to figure out. All right. You know, how much of a difference is that? Is that the biggest thing, or is the game just faster and he hasn't figured it out yet? But either way, it looks awful when he's out there.
I believe that the thing for him, he is like a Tom Brady without the height. You look at Kyler Murray. You look at Russell Wilson. You go with other guys that are not that tall. They can get inside the pocket. That's what they do. They can run, and then the guys know if you get out of the lane, they get through the gap, they can take it. He doesn't do that. So what they now do, they rush him as a passer, and he's in the pocket. Get hands up, it has to affect him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was one of the things that, you know, was also a selling point on him too, though, as you probably remember, that, you know, his ability to play off script, throwing on the run, you know, moving the pocket, that was one of the strengths that we were sold on. And man, that hasn't come to fruition either. So – I do, you know, he came in mop-up duty against the Bears. a week and a half ago, made a couple of nice throws, but of course there's nothing on the line at that point. They're 1-5 right now. I do think they're getting better as a football team, but I don't think it's going to matter toward the postseason at all. So there will come a time, probably around week 11, 12, 13, where I think they go back to him at least one more time to see if sitting and watching from the sidelines, you know, was any benefit to him. I know you know Steve Smith, Panthers legend. He comes on with me every Monday, and Steve's still a big proponent of, hey, the best thing for him right now is to be sitting on the sidelines, clear his head, let him watch it from another vantage point, let him see that this offense works, and then when you go back to him, hope that some of that sank in.
I'm talking with Kyle Bailey here. You can listen to him afternoons down in Charlotte, WFNZ. Give him a follow at Kyle Bailey Club. Let's switch to two guys that have been helpful in Washington, one significantly so, in Frankie Louvu and Jeremy Chinn. Are you surprised the success those guys are having here?
Louvu, no, not at all. Fantastic football player, built and made of all the right stuff. Absolutely loved him, was devastated when he left. As a football fan. Now, Jeremy Chinn was a little bit different. Chinn had gone through, a handful of different defensive coaches, a couple different defensive coordinators, and after a really strong start down here, it just didn't seem to work. It just didn't seem to click. There was no playmaking out there to be seen. It felt like to some of these coaches maybe that he was a bit of a tweener, and this obviously comes down to using a guy the right way, but, by the time that he left, there was sort of this sense of, all right, this many coaches haven't been able to figure out how to use him. You're obviously not in a great position to pay him, too. So, this is one that I think was kind of expected when he left. I'm happy to see him playing well. I was very excited about him when the Panthers drafted him a couple of years ago. I hate that it didn't work out. But I'm especially, like a lot of fans, upset to watch Frankie Louvu playing as well as he is in another uniform, because I just love watching that guy play football.
Well, you said he does. He has everything. He does all the right things. What was it about him that had you so excited when he was there? Because right here, when he's here, he's an actual motivator, and that dude runs around like a maniac on the football field.
Well, that's it. You just said it. He's one of those guys. He's just a football player. And, he has good instincts. He's not afraid to stick his head in there and hit anybody. He wants to be a leader. He is vocal, but he also backs it up with his play on the field. He's a tough, hard-nosed guy. And I just think, you need as many of those types of guys in your locker room as possible. And we felt like all offseason that if they could afford to bring him back, they would try. And they certainly did. I mean, they offered a little bit more money than the Commanders did. But obviously he made what he felt was the best decision for him. So, everything about him as a football player, I think it was the best piece of pro scouting that the previous regime did before they were ultimately ushered out the door, I felt, because Frankie's a football player, and I know y'all are happy to have him.
Oh, yes, we are.
Hey, Kyle, one last thing. I don't know what's going on down there. I know you got a new young head coach, and maybe ownership's actually going to let him take the time he needs to rebuild that thing. Who knows, right? But everybody up here is obsessed with the trade deadline, and one name we keep hearing is J.C. Horn. What is Horn like as a player?
No. Can't have him. No.
Well, no. So I guess he's good. Now, he's dealt with a lot of injuries. I assume they've picked up the fifth-year rookie option. Just get us up to speed on Horn, and then if you think they are a seller at the trade deadline.
Oh, they're a seller. I just don't think they're selling J.C. Horn. This team has watched – and look, we talked about this on the airwaves for months on end. People are tired of watching talent run out the door here because, the front office can't properly manage its roster, or doesn't make the right moves in a timely manner. J.C. Horn, the only real complaint about J.C. Horn is that he's had a tough time staying healthy the first couple of years of his career. And it's a big one, right? You have to be able to stay healthy. And he's always going to be compared to Patrick Surtain because those guys, were taking a couple of selections apart. But, J.C. Horn can play. And, not only do we want to just see J.C. Horn stay healthy for 16 to 17 games down here, it would be nice to see J.C. Horn paired with a consistent pass rush. And while nobody thought this pass rush was going to be elite this year, if you kept Jadeveon Clowney, Derrick Brown, A'shaun Robinson healthy, and D.J. Wonnum, who hasn't played yet, was out there on the field coming off of 8.5 sacks, you felt like you had a chance to at least be disruptive, which, of course, helps your back end. So J.C.'s a big physical corner. He can run with and cover anybody in the NFL, and I think they'd be insane to go trading him at the trade deadline, and I don't think they have any interest in it, to be quite honest with you.
All right, so we can all shut up about that one.
No, no, listen, I've been wrong before. I mean, next week you can be laughing because this guy in Charlotte said they weren't trading J.C. Horn, and here he is. So, I mean, it happens, but, like, I don't think they have any interest in trading J.C. Horn.
Okay. Well, then let's wrap it up relatively simply. What do you think happens on Sunday?
Commanders win a shootout. I'm hopeful, I guess, never hopeful to lose, but – you know, I last week against the Falcons, I predicted the final score was 38-24. It's not often I predict NFL teams to score. Well, close, yeah. I mean, but this defense just is what it is, guys. I mean, you got guys getting after the quarterback down here that nobody's ever heard of. You know, the starting linebackers are hurt, and one of the backups, Claudin Cherlis, who's actually he's a player. I mean, he's a really talented guy. He's, you know, banged up this week and didn't practice yesterday either. So, Ejiro Evero is truly being asked to make chicken salad out of you-know-what, and I just don't know how he's going to do it. Now, the good news is they should be getting some guys coming back healthy over the next couple of weeks. I just don't think it's going to be in time for this Sunday.
It's the highest total on the books this weekend, or tied for the highest total on the books this weekend, depending where you're shopping. Pretty damn interesting, man. I don't know that Washington – how good is Chuba?
Good. Chuba. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, and with a good O-line.
Really, really good. Hard worker, tough kid. Yeah, and that's the thing, too. I mean, you know, I go back to the Panthers invested more money in the offensive line than anybody else. They signed Robert Hunt from Miami. They brought Damian Lewis down from Seattle. They kicked Austin Corbett over to center. And, you know, they've had two guys go down. Corbett's out for the year with a torn bicep now. And Taylor Moten, who had a 104-game Ironman streak, he saw that snapped on Sunday because of a tricep injury. But, you know, Brady Christensen and Yosh Nijman just stepped right in, and they continued playing well. So, I mean, this offensive line has been a real bright spot when they stick with the run. That's the one way that, you know, I think maybe the Commanders could find themselves in trouble late in this game, is if they stick with the run and they continue to run it well, because they are moving people on the line of scrimmage. Brian Baldinger has a great breakdown, one of his Baldy's breakdowns on this from a couple of days ago. He's insistent that things are going to turn, quote-unquote, as he put it, here in Carolina, because he loves what they're doing along the line of scrimmage, and I tend to agree with him. So I think they can run the ball on Sunday, and maybe their best chance is to keep Jaden Daniels off the field.
Robert, y'all like those Raging Cajuns. Robert Hunt, another Raging Cajun.
y'all got a proud legacy down there. You got a proud legacy.
Yes, indeed.
Are you coming up? I don't know. I know you do all the Hornet stuff, so maybe traveling's not on the books for this one.
No, not right now. I also have three kids under 3.5 years old. So,
doggy.
I don't. You might want to find another hobby, Kyle.
I got a hobby for you. It's a vasectomy.
Well, listen, hey, Blue Chew is one of my big sponsors on the show. So
Lord.
We got love for Blue Chew,
you and JP.
Dude, 3 under 4. Goodness gracious. Good luck.
Yes, sir.
You're a busy man. Get some sleep. Thanks for making time for us, brother.
Thank you, fellas. Good to catch up.
All right, take care.
Kyle Bailey. Follow him on Twitter at Kyle Bailey Club. Same thing on Instagram. That dude's a riot. That show is really good. I've listened to it before. Speaking of really good, Cliff Kingsbury's offense is cooking. You'll hear from the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next, recovery period. It means I'm in Ashburn until like 7 o'clock at night, but that's cool. I like it out here. I'd move out here. I would move to Loudoun County. Shout out to Loudoun County. Dude, I would live in like Leesburg. It's nice out there.
You would do a lot, but you're not doing it, so don't worry about it. Stop
right.
Talking about it.
My wife's in charge of everything.
It ain't gonna happen.
She won't do any of it. Cliff Kingsbury, Washington Commanders offensive coordinator, running a hell of an offense, top 5 in the league, spoke to the media.
Area for him.
Yeah, he continues to work really hard, and you know, he made those in college, and that's what we saw on tape, was the ability to play on time and make accurate throws where the guys can catch them in space and continue to run. So I think all his work is paying off. in the fact that the game's starting to slow down a little bit each week, more and more each week, and hopefully that continues. But he's definitely working at it, and he had some big-time throws that converted some big-time third downs the other day.
What would it mean to get Brian Robinson back this week?
He's a big part of what we do. I mean, both emotionally and physically. The way he plays the game, the joy he plays with, what he brings to practice, that's a big deal for us as a unit. And obviously, he's a tremendous player, pass game, run game, pass pro, so it would be a big lift.
Of the plays you called last week, the flea flicker to the running back screen is one that got a lot of attention, and people are like, well, where did that come from? So,
yeah, I got to cite my sources always. It's a Jeff Brohm play. He did it at Purdue, and obviously we have David Blau, who played for Jeff Brohm. So David Blau had brought that one up, and we ended up – they threw it to a tight end. We ended up sneaking Austin back there, and it ended up working out. The guys executed it perfectly because they brought a pressure, which even made it better. But, yeah, that's – shout-out Jeff Brohm for that one.
And then to marry it, the next play with Austin going out into the flat, even acting as if it's coming to him, and then here comes Diaby. How much, I guess, was it purposeful to marry it to them, to each other, or is that just sort of the way the
play? It just worked out. Like, in you have those scenarios in your head where you would sequence it, and then sometimes it hits. But if that screen didn't hit, then, yeah, we weren't get to that one. So it just kind of worked out. We had that personnel group we could line up and get rolling again fast, and so it played out in our favor that time.
Good afternoon, Coach. Jaden's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL so far against the blitz. Can you just talk about maybe why that's happening?
Yeah, you know, it starts with the offensive line. They've done a great job of going to the right guys, and so he knows where his problem areas are, and he trusts it, and so he's been able to hang in there. And then the wideouts have done a good job, you know, seeing the pressures and doing their side adjusts and being where they should be. And then, you know, his preparation and the hours he puts in studying the tape and understanding protections and understands the pressures of the week. It's kind of a combination of all three of those things.
And then maybe not specifically in your scheme exactly, but just kind of around the league, there's been an increase in at-snap motion being used. Can you kind of talk just from a football theology standpoint of why that might be?
Yeah, I think the game is just cyclical, and people see certain teams doing it that have had a level of success, and then it's like, oh, okay, well, we could add that, and we could do it this way and add this wrinkle. And so I think that's what you're going through, and I'm sure it'll transition to something else here in a few months. But yeah, it's definitely picked up. I see a lot of people doing it, and I know it's a challenge for defenses. I think you talk to those guys, that's probably where everybody's kind of getting that information, is their DCs are like, hey, this is a tough look here, or that's a tough look there.
Hey there, Coach. Your thoughts on Jeremy McNichols so far this season?
He's been great. Was impressed with him throughout training camp, a guy who stood out, who always knew his assignment, practices hard, play hard, whether it's special teams or running back, and just to have the limited practice reps he's had and be able to step in and perform at the level he's performed at kind of tells you all you need to know about him as a professional.
You couldn't really get the run game going too much against the Ravens. Was that more about, obviously missing Brian Robinson's a big part of that, was that more about kind of game flow or game plan?
Yeah, they've been really stout against the run. We would have liked to run it better, there's no doubt. We needed to run it better to win that game and possess the ball more than we did. We had our defense out there a lot because we weren't able to establish a run game. But just a combination of things. I got to call a better game. You know, Brian's a tremendous player, but they're also very good at stopping the run, as you can tell through their first six games. But we got to be better establishing that, and that's kind of set up everything else for us throughout the season, and we weren't able to do that last week.
And if you look at a Ravens team that's been one of the best against the run, you now have a Panthers team that has struggled. I think the second most yards they've given up on the ground. Is that something that you want to target attack, kind of get better at as you get to the team?
I think overall we just want to get back to how we were playing, and that was a more balanced approach, you know. So hopefully B-Rob will bring some of that, and we can just build off the run game like we did the previous 5 weeks.
You've been around Terry long enough now. Have you seen him kind of change? I know he's, you know, pros pro coming in, but mm-hmm. just in his work with Jaden, have you seen that connection kind of grow?
Yeah, just I think comfort level, them understanding each other and what they're trying to get to. And you know, the last touchdown on the fourth down was when they had just kind of talked about in the huddle and planned it out together. And that's what you hope happens as they get rolling. And Terry's a guy who every day he puts in the work. And if the ball's not coming to him. He doesn't say a word. He continues to work hard without the ball, with the ball, practicing hard. So he's a real tone setter for the entire team. And to see him, you know, get in the end zone the last few weeks like he has been awesome. And hopefully that continues.
And Luke McCaffrey coming in with only 2 years experience at the position. How has he kind of developed?
He continues to get better. My biggest thing with him is his work ethic and his fearlessness is through the roof. Like, he's out there on Sundays. He wants the ball. He's not afraid of the moment. And then every day of practice, you almost got to slow him down because he's going so much and wants every rep he can get and won't come off the field. So that's a good starting spot. And his knowledge, having played quarterback growing up, obviously, you know, the pedigree he has helped him. But he really works at it, and you can tell he's going to make himself into a really good player in this league.
How much more can you do with Jaden than compared to week one?
I think just overall offensively, we are figuring out, you know, what we can do and who we are. And we've been fortunate to be relatively healthy outside of B-Rob, and that helps, that continuity week in, week out, getting on the same page. But, you know, he's a guy who whatever you throw on his plate, he's going to study, he's going to work hard at it, and he's allowed us to expand a lot faster than I thought we'd be able to at this point in the season.
In the summer, you guys got comfortable with how the times all you've done a lot. More than most guys I ever thought. What made you so comfortable early?
Yeah, it starts with Jaden. I think he's a guy, you know, as a young guy, pushing the tempo, being able to handle that operation, especially in no huddle, and then command that from, you know, 10 other grown men. It's like, that's not what they're accustomed to. So for him to really buy into it, which he's played at, you know, that kind of tempo in college and believes in it, that really set the tone for the entire group. And so the guys have seen some of the big plays we've had off of it and how it can sometimes really simplify a defense by keeping them on their heels. And so that's been a good change up for us, and we'll continue to use it.
Did you expect him to be able to handle it in the way he has? I mean, I know, like you said, he did it at LSU, mm-hmm. but
yeah, I didn't know how, like, the extent of his work ethic. I knew the stories at LSU, but just to see it in person, I mean, he puts it in each and every day, all day, to be able to be out there and not have to think and be able to command and get it lined up the right way, which isn't easy when we're playing at that pace.
Ben, last one.
I know we've asked about the left tackle rotation mm-hmm. there. It's now week 7 at this mm-hmm. point. Is it just, hey, this is who we are, what we're going to do, or is there a work problem work?
Yeah, we'll continue. We like what we've seen from both guys. I think that's really the best answer I can give. Both guys deserve to continue to play at this point, and we've been having success offensively, which has helped. But I like what both guys bring. I think you can never have enough of those guys as you get into the back half of your season, especially up front with tackles. And so to keep two guys that we feel like are playing at a good level rolling, I'm perfectly good with.
It's kind of weird, right? You can't just in one position where you're start for expansion, there's no frill in between, so that's the way it is.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's unique. I get that. I've never done it to this extent, but it's basically if it's not broke, don't fix it at this point. And like I said, Luke's done a tremendous job since we got him here of working, and so has Brandon, and it's been a nice compliment to each other so far.
Appreciate it,
thank y'all. Appreciate it.
B. Mitchell Finley, that was Commander's offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff is a chill dude that yes. I think recognizes he's at the controls of a machine that might be able to go really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like the great horses, Seattle Sloughs and all those, the jockeys say all I did was ride them.
Right.
They didn't have to do anything else. They knew where they needed to go. I think Jaden is that type of guy, and Cliff is a jockey.
Yo,
he's sitting back and letting them go.
And everybody's so convinced he's going to bounce. Bro, he's getting paid from Arizona, and he's right. Like, to your point, I mean, he's got an opportunity here to.
Yeah, but when you're running your own show, that's a different thing.
And sure.
You know, he has to be looking forward to that chance again.
Absolutely. I'm just not saying if you're Kingsbury at this stage, you might not be looking at the first opportunity. You're yeah. looking for the right opportunity.
The best. Yeah. He already went through one.
Right. Speaking of the best, speaking of the right opportunity, not the first opportunity, not the easy one, perhaps. You want the best, you go to Orsman Automotive of Virginia. They got 7 dealerships all over Northern Virginia. They got all the brands you're looking for. Buick, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, GMC, Jeep, Kia, Lincoln. Ram, Toyota. I got a Toyota. B's got a Kia. They'll take good care of you. There's a reason me and B keep buying our cars there. It's because of the people and the service and the oarsmen, Lifetime Edge.
And that Lifetime Edge is unbelievable. Like JP said, they take care of you. You know, they take care of you from start to finish. But once you get the car and you go back, they'll give you up to $1,500 in extras, including the complimentary car wash with every scheduled maintenance. They give you a loan of cars with every major maintenance and a lifetime engine guarantee. If you're trying to sell a car, you can go to Oarsman. They'll give you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value. Everybody else want to go 100 or less, regardless of its make, model, or year. And it's very simple at Oarsman. They like to keep their customers happy. And take it from JP and I, two beyond satisfied Oarsman customers, and let's ride together. Kind of man. From fucking Chinatown.
I don't think I've ever paid attention to the lyrics. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're going to open the phones up in about 10 minutes. But I got to check in on the boys in the aquarium, okay? In the last hour, we've gone to Charlotte to talk to Kyle Bailey. You just heard from Cliff Kingsbury, Commander's offensive coordinator. But I don't know what's going on because my man Matt Valdez just posted a video where I think he went in and trolled Jeff, and then the B. Mitch and Finley account, of whom I still don't know who runs it, I think it's Landfill, posted that the haters are out in force. Professor Landini, can you get us up to speed, sir?
Yeah, so Jaden Daniels, who we all know, the rookie sensation, quarterback of our team, greatest thing to happen to this franchise in a very long time, is
Sonny.
He's dominating, and he won the Pepsi Rookie of the Week. Again, that's 5 out of 6 weeks. And the Jaden Daniels haters aren't happy. And we have two chief Jaden Daniels haters here at the station, Matt Valdez and Drab T-Shirt. So they came in to try to troll Jeff. And you know, Jeff's not going to sit there and take it, so he fought back.
There you go, Jeff.
I'm guessing Jeff will have a bleep you ready in about 10 minutes.
Probably.
Can we play this audio, Landfill? Because Valdez posted the video, which is kind of funny.
No audio.
Why?
I said some things in there.
Mm-hmm.
In the video that's on Twitter?
Yes, there was some derogatory language and derogatory terms used.
Okay.
Did you call anybody a yacht?
No.
Not yet. Okay, so have we updated the Jaden Daniels haters list?
I mean, they were already on it.
I was going to say, they was already on it.
Are they now at the top? Have they
been
the guy from Cincinnati?
And their names are Balk and Skull.
I don't know that reference.
Just search Balk and Skull from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Power Rangers.
I got to be honest, I'm not going to do that. But I'll just take your word for it. All right, bleep you coming in 10 minutes or so. I got a feeling where this is headed. B?
Yes.
Broncos Saints tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Saints are without a lot of players.
They don't have a lot of flavor.
Nah, man.
They starting off on fire. Now they're bland as hell.
For New Orleans, they like flavor down there.
Yeah.
The injury list is pretty significant. I think Alave's out. Obviously, the quarterback's out. Denver is incredibly boring to watch play football. Bo Nix isn't the answer. They got a good defense, and Sean Payton's kind of just grinding wins out of this team.
Is that the Parker Skull he's talking about?
I guess.
That's not Power Rangers.
I don't know, B.
That's just one dude look a little thick and one dude look a little weird.
Yeah, those are the guys from Power Rangers.
Denver.
Oh, man.
Comes into this. I think the Broncos are 3-3, and New Orleans has lost 4 in a row. This is the type of Thursday night game that I think, whenever that is, a month, 2 months from now, when they're allowed to flex them, I think this joint would be getting flexed out. What do you make of this matchup, B?
Tonight?
Yeah. You going to watch baseball?
I'll watch the game. I'll look at some of it. I'm not going to watch the whole thing. I keep going back to our text thread with my guys from college, and it was a lot of yapping the first 2 weeks of the season. Now they're putting little kids on it in shirts singing, like talking about who's going to beat them Saints. Everybody. I mean, I don't know, man. New Orleans is not impressing me at this point. It's in New Orleans. Maybe Denver goes down there and get, you know, eat too much food because the food is better in New Orleans than in Denver. And maybe they just a little sluggish and the Saints finally get them. But, nah, I put my money on the the Denver Broncos tonight.
Here's something interesting. In college ball, the Hokies are hosting BC, Virginia Tech Boston College, in Blacksburg. And then Marshall, in Marshall, is hosting Georgia State. Now, I don't know the geography of West Virginia that well, but isn't Blacksburg like right next to West Virginia? I guess Marshall's on the...
I don't know about that, JP.
Marshall's on the western side of West Virginia. Whereas
when you go over towards Marshall, you're going upwards over here and Michigan over there.
I got the map, baby. Blacksburg's right by... Yeah, Blacksburg's only... I mean, it's right close to the West Virginia state line, but Marshall's got to be a couple hours over. I was thinking you could try to do a doubleheader, but I think that's too far.
You mean doubleheader doing what, driving?
Go to the first half in Marshall, second half in Blacksburg.
I could do that on my TV. I got the fire stick. I can watch both of them at the same time.
As a matter of fact, I will do that tonight. So, I will.
No, I'm not.
Honestly, dude, we got a loaded sports night.
I have no reason to want to go.
Two college football games.
No offense to our man Kyle, but I'm not going to Blacksburg.
I got to be honest, BC plus 7.5 sounds kind of tempting. I haven't hit a bet since Saturday, if anybody's keeping track. And it's
sounds
not,
like Jeff since
it's 3 weeks
ago.
It's not for lack of trying.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't be worried, JP. I ain't hit one in 2 weeks. We good, bro.
Well, Jeff, for our bets at the end of the show, for her to hear first, I have hit a few of those. But the actual ones I put in for real money, those are the ones I'm not hitting.
And that's the one you need to be hitting.
Yeah, those are the ones I care about.
Since he always tells how much he knows how the market works.
Waves at the beach, comes and it goes. dude, this is a really good sports day for a Thursday in October. You got Yankees Guardians at 5, Dodgers Mets at 8, Broncos Saints at 8:15, Marshall versus Georgia State at 7, BC versus Virginia Tech at 7:30. You can listen
to that. I'm watching all of them.
You can listen to that right here. And the Caps play tonight. Caps hosting Dallas tonight at 7. I assume you can listen to that on our air, too.
Well, I'm just going to
say. We got a busy station tonight.
Brendan Giuseppe, where are you, dog? Hit me.
Let's how many TVs does
golf.
Giuseppe
have? I'd rather go play golf than watch any one of them games that early.
Yeah, but the only game that would be on early enough during golf hours is baseball. And you could watch the end of that.
Came us after we play golf. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, Giuseppe, hit me up, too. I might squeeze 9 in.
No, you're not. You won't leave here till it's dark.
That's unfortunately true. 800-636-1067. Time to come together as a people, as a community, in fellowship, and let the world know who has wronged us and what we're mad about. It's Bleep You Thursday.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.